And each and every Tuesday at this time at 2:30, our travel mum pops in for a chat to inform us about great family holidays. Nice to see you, Andrea Bailey.
Thanks, Mark. I should actually be saying namaste, Mark.
Namaste.
What does that mean? Hello.
That's hello in Hindi, because I'm taking namaste. You to India this week.
Yeah, you've got, you're wearing the right clothes
as
well.
Yeah, I am. I thought it'd be, you know, add a little colour.
Yeah, a bit of national dress as well. Why not?
Gorgeous.
I mean, where do you start with India? It's gigantic. I mean, you know.
It's massive. You've got 1.2 billion people, eh? So that's a lot.
First thing I think when I think of kids in India is, how would you not lose them? There's so many people. You'd be like, hold hands, do not let go.
That is one way.
Yeah. You'd want a time or a rope, wouldn't you?
Yeah, we're getting back to the reins again here, aren't we?
Yeah.
Get the reins on them.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, where are you going to take us in India then?
So, I thought we'd start with the north. Of course, it's a big country, so I'm not going to be able to cover all of it today. But I'd start with the capital, which is, of course, Delhi. And, you know, the very popular kind of thing to do there would be the Golden Triangle, they call it, which is Delhi, Agra, and Jaipur. And, of course, Delhi, you've got the Red Forts, you've got a lot of history. India was occupied by the British for a long time, so we've got a lot of colonial history as well, a lot of forts because of the Mughal emperors. So there's really, I mean, so much to see and do. Agra, of course, as you know, is where the Taj Mahal is.
Yeah.
That was actually built by Shah Jahan as a monument to his wife, Mumtaz, who actually passed away during childbirth of their 14th child.
Oh.
I know.
It's
a lot of children.
Right.
Yes, but she was his favorite wife, and, you know, he had to do something once
Don't
she passed away.
Don't you just love
away.
That?
So he built the Taj Mahal.
That's right, in her memory. So
that was a big job, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I mean, what is it really like, the Taj Mahal? We hear all these, you know, contrasting stories about you've got to see it at this time of day, and, you know, crowds are just too much, make sure you don't do this, do that, the other. What's it really like
I
to go and see?
It's small.
Yeah.
It's not small. It is. I mean, it is quite big to see. But I think the recommendation would be go as early in the morning as you can. Like when they open, just be there, because that's when the crowds are less as well. And it's not too hot, because Delhi gets really hot in the summers and you just won't be able to take the heat in the day. So it's either early morning or, you know, as the sun is setting, maybe around 4-5-ish early afternoon. That kind of time, yeah.
And that's when you get your best pictures or selfies.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know that famous bench in the front?
Yes.
With the Taj at the back, yes.
Did you see recently Prince William and Kate?
They recreated the photograph.
That's right.
They did, that famous photograph of Diana. And actually, the paparazzi got a picture of William and he looked like he was shedding a tear, like walking away from it. It would have been a pretty emotional thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that's a nice place to see as well. And then you've got, of course, Jaipur with all its, you know, it's called the Pink City. So you've got all these buildings that are pink and it's, you know, bustling and there's animals everywhere and there's palaces all over.
That place looks like a lot of fun to wander around, doesn't it?
And is that far away from Agra?
It's a few hours by car. So that's why you can actually do this kind of itinerary in about 3 days.
Okay.
Let me ask you, Andrea, would you do a road trip yourself? Like, would you hire a car yourself or would you get a driver?
No, not in India. I wouldn't recommend driving around in India. I am from India myself, and I wouldn't do it. So the best thing to do is actually take a driver guide, someone who knows where he's taking you as well. He can give you some information about places that you're stopping to see. That's the best way to do it. And it's not too expensive.
Could you hire someone who you would keep for the whole trip?
Yes. So the person would actually stay with you. He'd have his own accommodation. He'd eat his dinners on his own, and he'd actually be with you in the morning again to take you around to the next place. That's how it usually works,
Why would you not drive? Is it because of the traffic?
It's
Is it?
Yeah, no, I just wouldn't drive. It's completely crazy. There's no rules. That's the rule. There are no rules.
So, but these guys know the rules.
Yeah, I mean.
It sounds like Dubai drivers would do quite well right there.
Okay, then. So, so we've been to two places on this Golden Triangle. Have we got a third?
So there's basically Delhi, Agra and Jaipur. Those are your three places. Yeah. And you would either fly out of Jaipur or go back to Delhi and fly out of Delhi.
Now, all of those places that you've talked about there, I'm like, I would love that. As a single person, I would love to go to all those places. Mm-hmm. What do the kids get out of that?
History, if they're studying that kind of thing in school. Some of the schools here have that as part of the history lessons. So it is, and it is finally part of, you know, the culture of the country as well. So if that's something you want your kids to see.
How do your kids feel about the hustle and bustle? Does it scare them at all, or do they like it?
I mean, initially, because they've been, you know, growing up here in Dubai, so it is a bit daunting. But once they get used to it, I think they're fine. So, yeah.
Just don't lose them.
Yeah. Just don't lose them.
Now, I see you've got a luxury train journey on here. That this will be a nice alternative to driving, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know that you'll have been talking about, you know, luxurious train rides this week. And I had to say, this is actually the most amazing train ride you can do in India. It's called the Maharajas Express. And it's basically, they have about 5 or 6 different itineraries you can do. And of course, some of them are, again, Delhi, Agra. You'd actually stop at Ranthambore, which is the national park where it's they've got a large number of tigers, which is a national animal of India. So you'd actually then be able to see all this. So you're, you know, on the train in the night, you're off the train in the morning, doing the tour, coming back. But it's really luxurious. I mean, you've got butlers, you've got, it's like a 5-star resort on board.
Oh, so are you only on there for one day?
No, you can do this for, this is a minimum of 3 nights that I just said, the itinerary that I mentioned. But you have a longer itineraries as well. So it's not a 1-night stay for sure.
Okay, so how much would it cost to stay on this train? It sounds like it could be pretty expensive.
Yes, it is expensive because this is luxury and it's premium. Yeah. This kind of a 4-day, 3-night itinerary, you're looking at prices starting from about $3,500 per person.
Ooh, that's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, it includes breakfast and
some meals.
For 3 nights? Yes.
Yeah.
It includes the tours and they've got high-speed Wi-Fi on the train. You know,
they'd have to have that. So $3,500,
That'd be faster than the train, the Wi-Fi, wouldn't it?
Hang on, that's about 12,000 dirhams each for 3 nights.
Yeah.
Whew. Yes, but it's one of those bucket list trips,
Andrea.
And you know, it looks really.
Who are you invoicing every month to do this?
I mean, I'd love to go on it. I think my kids would have a complete blast on this train. They'd really enjoy it.
So. I wonder if there's many kids on there at that price.
I wonder. I mean, I'm not sure, but I'm sure that some families might be taking their kids. But I think it's more of those celebrate anniversary type of things as well. So
yeah.
It does sound cool.
Let's get over to Western India because I've got a feeling this might be more more affordable and more family friendly as well. Am I right?
Yes. So basically, of course, coming down south, so, we went to the north and now coming down west, you'd of course go to Mumbai. It deserves a visit, I think. It is kind of crazy with its 20 million people. And it is a bit of a culture shock for a lot of people, but it is definitely worth a visit because it's just something so different from anything you've ever seen. I can guarantee that. I grew up in Mumbai. You've got the rich and the poor living alongside. You know, you've got these high rises and the slums right next door to each other, and it's just something you don't see anywhere else. Slum tours have picked up, you know, as some of the things that you could actually do there.
That is incredible. So, like, we've talked about this on the show before.
Yeah, we did that about the ethics of the slum tours.
Yeah.
You know, is it helping the people that, you know, are living in these places, or is it kind of a little bit, you know, not the dumb thing to go and see them?
Even just the name of it. Like, there's a TV show in Britain called Benefit Street. I don't know if you've heard of it, and it's about people who are on benefits.
Right.
And we were going to watch it the other night, and we went to our projector room in our building. So they have this room with, like, huge beanbags and a big projector.
Oh, really?
And we were sat in there going, this feels very wrong. Like, watching Benefit Street on a big projector in a luxury building in Dubai.
Okay.
And I think I'd feel the same with a slum tour. Like, getting up in the morning, putting your kit on, like, oh, we're off today to see the slums and the poor people. It just seems a bit rotten.
Yeah,
but, you know, I think I would want my kids to see that because even though, I mean, I'm from Bombay and they do see it regularly, we go down a lot. I would say it's recommended for children that have not seen the other side of life, because you grow up in Dubai, it's like being in a bubble. You don't see poverty much. You don't see, you know, old people. But here, it's really about educating your children and saying, look, this is how a lot of people do live. And, you know, some of the tours are actually, they're quite responsible with the way the money has been, you know, where the money goes. It actually goes back into the little schools that are run in these slum areas, because Dharavi, that's the area, is the biggest slum in Asia. So they've got schools, they've got little, you know, medical centers. It's kind of a whole city in itself.
Yeah.
It's like a city within a city. And there's a lot of small-scale industry happening there as well. So all your scrap metal businesses and everything, you know, plastic, there's so much happening. It's really an eye-opener, I think. So it deserves a chance.
But how do they feel, the children, when they see that, when they see other children their age living like that?
I don't know. I hope it actually makes, you know, some sort of an impact, because then you would come back and really appreciate, first of all, what you've got.
Mm.
And then secondly, actually maybe do something towards helping them in the long term. You know, that's what I would try and do with my children.
It's an interesting one.
We're going to come back and head to Goa and those incredible beaches in Goa. Have you got any thoughts on holidays in India?